and her adorable husband, Sean Farrar.
Woo!
Thanks for hanging out with us as we give some
life tips
and real life marriage banter.
Let's get started now with a random thought.
Hey, it's random thought in the house time.
That was quick notice right there. Uh-huh. I'm ready.
I'm ready.
There's no answer. I'm ready.
Yes, I'm ready. You know who wasn't ready?
Who?
A little boy. He was 7. He was at a chess match in Russia.
Uh-huh.
Russia's at war, but they're still having chess matches. That's and he right. was playing a robot.
Yeah.
Who was playing other little children.
Yeah.
And you know what the robot did?
No. Smack him.
Almost.
Really?
Almost. The little boy made a move, and then I guess there was a time issue going on with the robot.
Yeah.
And he went down with his little robot arm.
Yeah.
And grabbed the child's finger.
Really?
Instead of a chess piece. And didn't let go.
Oh.
And the child, the little kid, like, his finger broke.
Really?
Yeah. Like, 4 people had to, like, go up underneath the cordoned off area and, like, detach him from the robot.
Get his finger out of the robot's grasp.
And I'm just saying, if robots are sore losers like this, like, we gotta stop.
Well, was it losing?
I don't think so. Maybe that was the problem. Maybe I was like, this kid is stupid. I don't know. Like,
I doubt he's stupid if he's playing
tired
the
of this game. I'm just, well, maybe to the robot it was. Oh, like, to me, it, yeah. He's a super genius. But to right. the robot, he's like, oh, this is ridiculous. Maybe the robot just got tired. You're like, he's playing with 4 kids at a time, like a nanny.
The robot is playing 4 kids at a time?
It's like 3 or 4 kids at a time. Maybe he was just robot. Like... Maybe he was just like, I have had enough of these children. I've had enough. And he snapped. You know, people snap. Robots snap. I don't know.
Well, I don't he snapped know. A finger, apparently.
Oh, yeah. But the little boy, he's such a little toughy. He, like, after they fixed his finger, he went back and he finished the game.
He did?
Yeah.
Did he win?
I don't know. Nobody says that, so I'm assuming no.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah.
He should have beat the robot.
Why? Then the robot would have, like, maybe the robot was like, this is your warning. You beat me. I break another finger. You know,
that's
like,
crazy, though.
Yeah. It's like, it's amazing. Like, and apparently the robot AI, whatever you want to call it, like, has played in multiple tournaments before and has never actually broken anybody else's finger or had any other incidents. This was a one-off. But you know what? You start with a finger.
That's right.
You go on to the
toes.
You
get the taste of it, man.
You go on to a nose.
Mm-hmm.
You go on to a femur.
Pretty soon the robot's just sticking his arm out and spinning circles, smacking them all across the face.
It's a slippery slope.
It's a horrible slope.
Yeah, man. Jeez. But, like, basically it just grabbed his finger and just kept squeezing.
That's crazy.
I know. So harsh.
But the thing is,
yeah.
I guess, was it like a programming timing error?
I think they think it was a timing error.
Thought processed by the robot.
I think they think that it was a timing error.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least that's what they're saying.
I'm sure that's what they're saying. They want to keep that under wraps until they've got that robot fully programmed. Yeah.
Hey,
we're back.
We are back. So the title of this podcast is Sometimes a Robot Breaks Your Finger, But You Want to Live Happy Anyway.
Yeah, it's just a finger. It'll heal up.
Right. So.
At least he didn't rip it off.
That's right. Just squeeze a little too hard, baby.
Just snap it off and put it by his pile of pieces that he's got from the game.
This is my bishop. Your thumb will be my pawn. But, like, yeah, man. Anyway, so that little kid is resilient, right? And cool.
Yeah.
And he went back, hopefully not under threat of death or torture, and finished the game, right? He finished the game.
How old was he? Do
like
you
7, I think.
7?
Yeah. So, and we've talked about some of the theories behind this one podcast before, but I think given the state of all of our friends right now, that we have to
Talk about it again?
Yeah, man.
All our friends? God, I hope not.
So, in Behind Our Anxiety, The Fear of Being Unneeded, a 2016 New York Times op-ed, the Dalai Lama and Harvard professor and president of the American Enterprise Institute, Arthur C. Brooks, they join together and they write this. You want to read this, babe? Or you want me to read it?
Oh, no, I'll read it.
You're squinting, though.
I was just confused. Well, so there was three people? No, two people. The Dalai Lama and Arthur Brooks.
Yeah, right? All that other stuff is Arthur Brooks. Like
His lineup of qualifications.
He's not the Dalai Lama. So when you're like joining with the Dalai Lama, you gotta put a lot of stuff in front of your name. Like professor, human,
president
CEO,
of American Enterprise.
Volunteer, occasional chess player.
Just to try to match two words.
Never had his finger broken by a robot.
Dalai Lama.
Arthur C. Brooks. But yeah.
So here's the quote.
They wrote it together, just the two of them.
The two of them wrote this, but we're quoting it.
Yes.
Right. How strange, then, to see such anger and great discontent in some of the world's richest nations. In the United States, Britain, and across the European continent, people are convulsed with political frustration and anxiety about the future. Refugees and migrants clamor for the chance to live in these safe, prosperous countries. But those who already live in those promised lands report great uneasiness about their own futures that seems to border on hopelessness. Why?
So, this was an interesting op-ed for me to read the day after I talked to 12 students in my Write Submit support class out of the Writing Barn in Austin.
What, right? Did you guys talk about that kind of stuff?
Yes, because, so these students, they're spread out all over the country, and a lot of them had really difficult Julys when it came to getting words on the page. And one eloquently asked, in an adorable way, how do you write when you're so worried about the world? Because she's adorable.
Yeah.
And so to my sort of brain, when you're worried and freaked out, it's the perfect time to write. Because I'm one of those write your way through things kind of people.
Yes, you are.
But I'm also writing is my escape kind of person. Yeah. If I'm writing, I'm super focused on writing. So I don't have to think about the world either. If I choose not to. But obviously not all brains are wired like my brain, thank God, right?
Sean's yes, like, yeah, thank God. No, it's a wonderful, wonderful brain. I love it.
So it also made me think about our marriage, because Sean's this wicked caretaker, and I'm not used to that, even though we've been together a while.
Do those words go together well, wicked caretaker?
They do when it talks about you.
I keep Carrie in the basement. But I take care
of
him.
But he does take care of me. He's also severely independent. So when I try to take care of him, right, when I try to take care of you, it doesn't always happen because he's like, I'm alpha. Only my way is the right way. I'm alpha. You can't load the dishwasher because you're not going to do it right, and I'll just have to come back and do it after you. That's Sean. Right.
Well, that sounds like my own problem, to be honest with you. Not anything you should be worried about.
Anyways, that makes me feel, it makes me feel like I don't have a purpose and that I'm not needed in a fundamental way that he is needed to unscrew the tops off of cans and get the pressure washer to work and lift all the heavy things like our dog, Sparty.
Well, Sparty's very heavy.
Yes.
The pressure washer is refusing to start.
This and isn't even, the point.
Even I can't unscrew the top off of a can.
Shut up. And he's also fundamentally good at pointing out my flaws. So I felt the same way, purposeless, when Emily, our daughter, left for college. Right? Oh, he's yawning.
You did, for sure.
Okay, so the Brooks guy and the Dalai Lama actually addressed this a bit in the op-ed by saying, quote,
virtually all the world's major religions teach that diligent work in the service of others is our highest nature and thus lies at the center of a happy life. Scientific surveys and studies confirm shared tenets of our faith. Americans who prioritize doing good for others are almost twice as likely to say they are very happy about their lives. In Germany, people who seek to serve society are 5 times likelier to say they are very happy than those who do not view services as important. Selflessness and joy are intertwined. The more we are one with the rest of humanity, the better we feel.
Pokey.
This helps explain why pain and indignation are sweeping through prosperous countries. The problem is not a lack of material riches. It is the growing number of people who feel they are no longer useful, no longer needed, no longer one with their societies.
Right? Right. And that's why I often feel unhappy personally. I feel superfluous and like I don't want to feel that way, you know?
Of course, who does?
But, oh my gosh, doggy, no. So anyways.
Yes?
You're keeping me from my happiness because you won't let me be helpful.
Oh, okay.
All right. Then you is very selfish of you.
Right, right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. There, I can twist anything.
That's good.
So, Brooks and the Dalai Lama also write that feeling superfluous is a blow to the human spirit. It leads to social isolation, emotional pain, and it creates the conditions for our negative emotions to take root.
Whew. So what can you do?
Well, you can tell your puppy to stop making so much noise in the podcast.
That's right.
But also, on an individual level, they say to do this.
Quote, start each day by consciously asking ourselves, what can I do today to appreciate the gifts that others offer me? We need to make sure that global brotherhood and oneness with others are not just abstract ideas that we profess, but personal commitments that we mindfully put into practice.
And from there, they say we should build into a society that's compassionate for puppies and robots who break children's fingers, where children are educated with practical and ethical skills to move them towards peace and economic security with finger-breaking robots. They write, quote,
many are confused and frightened to see anger and frustration sweeping like wildfire across societies that enjoy historic safety and prosperity. But their refusal to be content with physical and material security actually reveals something beautiful. A universal human hunger to be needed. Let us work together to build a society that feeds this hunger.
I have a hunger for a real podcast studio. But it's more than that, right?
Yes.
Our society is full of polarities and divisiveness, trolls on internet posts. And I said internet, weird. And it's hard sometimes to not constantly feel personally attacked and to attack back. And in another op-ed, this time from the Washington Post, the Dalai Lama and Brooks team up again. Boom. And address this in writing.
Each of us can break the cycle of hatred starting today. Do you feel that you've been attacked on social media? Respond with warm-heartedness, disarming your attacker with forbearance. Overhear someone make a snide remark about people who think as you do? Respond with kindness. Want to say something insulting about people who disagree with you? Take a breath and show generosity instead.
Ooh la la. So that sounds impossible, right?
Sometimes.
Yeah, anger. And the thing is, anger can be a motivating force. And like, don't we have a right to be angry? Yeah, we do. We have the ability to feel a plethora of emotions. The difference is what we do with them. We totally failed at this, Shawnee and I, as we've talked about before, when the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade and someone was a butt on my Facebook post and Sean called them an F-stick. I should have used that opportunity to educate and work toward betterment, but instead I was just angry. A personal anger that I used to strike back rather than strike forward. And I didn't harness my anger toward social change, toward the system that made this guy think he could say that stuff at me. I just lashed out at him, right?
Yes.
So Brooks and the Dalai Lama write about how we can respond to that, right?
Yes.
And what do they say?
They say, help counter the widespread crisis of contempt. Warm-heartedness is contagious. Just as people mimic bad behavior, they mimic good behavior. We all want to be happier and better people. The best way for each of us to improve society is to model behavior that offers a way forward. Others will follow. It may take a long time to change society, but it won't come sooner than our own individual actions. Dog! Excuse me. It's too early in the morning for that.
Worst podcast ever.
That's what you say every time. Dog tip for life. So Puggy's just staring at me because I took her squeaky toy away. And that's her way of saying, let me share this beautiful toy with you, Master.
master.
Owner? Person who feeds me? Caretaker?
Caretaker.
Anyways.
Human who I grace my presence with?
Yes, of course. Because all humans are below those dogs of ours.
So true.
But,
and
anyways.
Cats, and even a snake, honestly.
The point about the dogs is that they always respond with kindness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
They don't let the fact that some dog is chewing and making noise during a podcast drive them crazy. Or the fact that the neighbor chose right now to hit something metal with a thing.
I know. It sounds like they're splitting rocks out there.
I know. They're just like, hey, you know what? It happens. Be chill, man. Yeah. Be chill. You have the choice.
That's right.
To be warm-hearted about how everything doesn't go your way.
Chew on my little ball.
Yeah.
Make it squeak. It'll make you feel better.
You made that naughty.
What? No. Chew on my little ball. On purpose, for once, actually. I didn't. Because that's not the sound you make if you chew on my little ball. Hey there. Thanks for listening to Dogs Are Smarter Than People. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share your heart out.
These podcasts and more are at my website, carriejonesbooks.blog.
There's even a little donation button there. Because even a dollar inspires a happy dance in Carrie.
And Sean.
But hers are much better than mine.
His are funnier.
So thank you so much for your support.
The music you hear here is made available through the Creative Commons, and it's a bit of a shortened track.
Who is the artist and what's the song?
Well, it's Summer Spliff by Broke for Free.
I love that song.
He does.
Just because of the name.
He does.
Thanks for listening so much.